Jabihari Jayora. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jayo Radha. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jayo. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jayo Radha. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jayo Radha. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jayo Radha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So
So today we continue studying beautiful Bhagavatam, Canto 3. It's called Status Quo, Chapter 20, called Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, and today's text number 9. Vidura Uvacha Prajapati Pati Srishtva Prajapati Pati Srishtva Prajasarge Prajapatin Prajasarge Prajapatin Kimarabhatame Brahman Kimarabhatame Brahman Prabruhye Vyakta Margavit Prabruhya Vyartha Margavit Vidura Uvacha Prajapati Pati Srishtva Prajasarge Prajapatin Kimarabhatame Brahman Prabruhya Vyartha Margavit. Please turn. Thank you. Word meaning. Vidura vacha. Vidura said. Prajapati pati. Lord Brahma. Srishtva. After creating. Praja sarge. For the purpose of creating living beings. Prajapatin. The Prajapatis. Kim, what? Arabhata started. Me, to me. Brahman, O holy sage. Prabruhi, tell. Avyakta Margavit, nowhere of what of that which we do not know. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vidura said, since you know of matters inconceivable to us, tell me, O holy sage, what did Brahma do to create living beings after evolving the Prajapatis, the progenitors of living beings? Purport. Significant here is the word Avyakta Margavit, one who knows that which is beyond our perception. To know matters beyond one's perception, one has to learn from a superior authority in a line of disciplic succession. Just to know who is our father is beyond our perception. For that, the mother is the authority. Similarly, we have to understand everything beyond our perception from the authority who actually knows. The first avyakta margavit, or authority, is Brahma. And the next authority in disciplic succession is Narada. Maitreya Rishi belongs to that disciplic succession. So he also is avyakta margavit. Anyone in a bona fide line of disciplic succession is avyakta margavit, a personality who knows that which is beyond ordinary perception. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam upakadamahyam dadati svapadantikam namam vishnupadaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vidanta swaminiti namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakopatarubhyascha kripa sinyo deva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming today. Again, for remembering the Supreme Lord. Please bless me so I can say something properly. Was that? Okay. Please, I need your blessings to give some good class. Well, not good class, I mean at least some, say something. Yesterday we heard very beautiful class by Ghanashyam Prabhu. He gave very nicely explanation of the two kind of speakers and those who are receiving knowledge, the hearer. He said that in a guru parampara, it has to be delivered perfectly and fully, and a receiver should get it fully also. I like this explanation. Also, he explained yesterday about the listening of the Bhagavatam is like a helicopter flying over and pulls down the rope, so we have to catch that rope in order to be saved. It's a very nice explanation. Radhanath Maharaj gave that explanation. He just quoted him. You can hardly hear, yeah? Okay. So today we're gonna study a little bit deeper. This is kind of explanation, further down explanation. Srila Prabhupada in a purport explains about the sadhu who can deliver this message. And he said that very important word in this verse is avyakta margavid. So Vidura inquiring from Maitreya, and so he addressing him as avyakta margavid. Avyakta margavit means matters beyond our perception. Those who avyakta margavit, that means avyakta, inconceivable, unmanifested, marga, path, with those who know, knower of the, those who knows how, what is unmanifested, inconceivable in this material world. So Maitreya Rishi, he knows about this, all these Prajapatis, creation of the Prajapati. How he knows? He doesn't know directly from Krishna, but he knows through the parampara. And Srila Prabhupada explained that meaning of parampara is very important. Prabhupada said that anyone in a bona fide line of disciplic succession is avyakta margavid. So he lists all the at least two Mahajans, acharyas, who is in the beginning of our line disciplic succession. This is Brahma and Narada. So these people, they are also avyakta margavid. So this verse also explained that we have to approach through avyakta margavit. I mean, we have to understand the spiritual science through that saintly people who is avyakta margavit. Because when Krishna says something in, for example, if he gives some instruction in Bhagavad Gita to us, we may not understand it properly if we get this direct instruction from Krishna. But we can understand the message that Krishna sends in a disciplic succession. Like Srila Prabhupada bring down to us that undeviated knowledge. So avyakta margavit is the authority who does not deviate from the teachings. So he delivers the knowledge as it is. He doesn't change anything. So in order to become avyakta margavit or authority, we have to deliver the message without deviation. The same knowledge that we receive, we have to transfer. We shouldn't create our own conceptions. And that's if you want to become also avyakta margavid, you have to deliver this message as it is, without changing anything. Otherwise, if we will not, if we, those who are deviating from that path, so he will not be considered avyakta margavit, and he will be creating all kinds of apasampradayas. And Brahma said in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the second canto he explained that I have a, my mind is always fixed on the Supreme Lord, and that's why whatever I say, this message is infallible. He explained to Narada in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that means those who are delivering that message also is infallible message. This is pure knowledge that we deliver, and we get this, that they deliver, and we get this knowledge in a pure knowledge. So we can use it and use this knowledge and be delivered from this material world. But how we can get this knowledge? Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter 4:34, he explained, in order to understand his message, this should be followed. These three important thing. He explained how to get this process should be done. He explained Tadvidhi Pranipatina Pariprashna Sevaya Upadekshanti Tegyana Gyanina Statva Darshana. So he explained that in order to receive that knowledge, we have to pranipat. First, we have to bow down before that that saintly persons in order to receive that knowledge purely. Because you know, when we are not humble, even though we will get some information, some very important instructions, but if we are not humble and we are not pure enough, that important knowledge will not go through through all these covers, through the false ego, through the material attachments and everything. So in order to get this pure knowledge, like Vidura saying here in front of Maitreya, when we ask a question for someone, that means we are saying to others, I do not know everything, please explain to me. So he just put himself in a humble position. He said, please explain to me, I do not know anything, if you kindly explain to me. So if we approach, bow down, pranipat, pariprashna, then we start to ask the question. And after asking the question, we have to do some seva in order to satisfy that person, and we will receive that knowledge. This is a process, actually. And in Bhagavad Gita, the next verse, Krishna explained to Arjuna that in 4:35, he explains further down, he said, having obtained real knowledge from self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion, for by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So in order to understand this and to see the absolute truth, to get this vision, we have to do all these things. Otherwise, it will be this knowledge about Lord and spiritual science will be inconceivable for us. I just want to tell the story about illustrating how the humility helps to see the Lord directly, actually. There was one person, he heard about one great guru. So he approached that guru and said, can you show me God? I want to see God. And I heard you're a great, great advanced devotee. So I want to see, can you show me? But this sadhu, he knew that this person is not actually ready to see the God. And he said, yeah, okay, I can show you God, but I have one condition. For 1 year, you have to accept all the instructions from me. Whatever I say, you have to do sadhana, you have to pray, you have to meditate, you have to bathe in the morning every day, whatever we do every day, yeah, like sadhana, for 1 year you have to do it. And after 1 year, I will show, please come to me and I will show you God. So he thought, well, maybe 1 year I can tolerate. I can do, because the goal is pretty high. So one year I can do all the sadhana. So 1 year passed, and after finishing all his sadhana and everything, a spiritual master told him, "Well, go to lake, take bath, and come back to me in a clean cloth, and I will show you God." So he, as soon as he went there, the spiritual master called up his another disciple who was sweeping the ashrama in his ashram, and said to him, instructed him that when he comes back from after the bath, comes to me, you just start sweeping, sweeping in front of him, and so the dust should go on yourself, on himself, on that person. And you know, in India, everybody knows when somebody's sweeping and the dust make you contaminated. Especially the sweeper's caste is very low in India. So he went and this, according to instruction of his guru, he starts sweeping. And that person, he was thinking, I'm about to see God, and this guy is sweeping, and I got contaminated again. And so he took the broom from him and started beating him and fall after him. he said, "What did you do?" So he ran after him, just beat him up, and angrily came back to his guru and said, "Show me God." And this spiritual master said, "Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. You're not ready to see God. Look at your state of consciousness. it's not the state of consciousness that you can see God." So the spiritual master said, "Well, since you are not ready, I have to give you another instruction. One more year, the same thing. Do your sadhana, do everything, meditation. I give you instruction what to do next. I mean, do all the sadhana again." So second year passed by. Again, he spiritual master told this person, "Go and take bath, and after that I will show you God." The second time, the same guru asked again his disciple, another disciple, and said, "This time you're not just sweeping him, but just trying to sweep in such a way that your broom will touch him. we will see how he is ready to test, examine him." So he took bath and went back to the spiritual master and started approaching him. But this devotee, he starts sweeping and starts touching his body even with a broom. And this is very uncontaminated thing. If you touch a pure person, like if you touch pujari with some contaminated thing, so he have to go back again and take a bath again. Take a shower or something. So second time he touched his body, and he ran away. But this time that person, he didn't chase after him to beat him up, but he just with the bad words, he just chastised him. "You rascal! You stupid! You this! You that!" So. again approached his spiritual master and asking him, "Can you show me God?" he said, "Well, looks like you are not ready yet. You have to do we have to understand that these 2 years, the meditation and the following sadhana purified him a little bit. So he understood that, my mind and my heart is still full of anger, greed, material desires and everything. I'm not ready." So he told, spiritual master told him, "Well, third year, you have to do the same thing 3 years, the third year." So he humbly accepted this instruction and followed the same instruction for a whole year, doing meditation, sadhana, praying humbly. Doing sadhana, everything. So at the third year, the spiritual master told him, "This time, again, he asked for a disciple to do, this time you have to do even more. Think you just get from our ashram, you get the whole bunch of garbage from our ashram, put it in a basket, and then just throw on him after he take bath. So just we'll see how he's ready. So the same thing happened. He took bath and start to coming back to spiritual master and telling, asking him to see, to show him God. At that time, when the this devotee throw him garbage on his head, he just fell down at this devotee feet and said, "You saved me. Thank you very much." So he start thanking this devotee, saying that "You saved me. You purified me. You." So in another way, his 3 years sadhana and following the instruction of the spiritual master help him to get this very important humility for advancement in spiritual life. So, but he came, when, as soon as he came to spiritual master, spiritual master told him, "Yes, you're ready. Now I can show you God." So this is you passed the exam. So this is a very important quality. Also, Arjuna, he got his this instruction, very important instruction from Krishna after surrendering, humbly surrendering to Krishna. So a result of all this of all this acquiring knowledge is we should get the vision. We have to have acquired the special vision, transcendental vision. So and the process of that is of course beginning with the hearing. It happened to be a few months ago. I've been doing the same the class on the same verse from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9 chapter, 11th verse, where Krishna explained how not Krishna, I guess it's some sadhu praying, I already forgot who, but he. This is a beautiful verse from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe Prangavinda remembers this famous verse. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja aseshu tekshita padho nanunat hapumsam yad yad dhya taurugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed. And you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Do you remember who said that? Brahmaji. Oh, it's Brahmaji. Right, right. It's a Brahmaji. Yeah, so in order to... So... knowledge is a media which we can we have to look at this world through the media of this transcendental knowledge. We have to transform our vision, actually. So I believe Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture before the initiation on 18th of July in 1971 in Detroit. Before the initiation, he explained five stages that all the devotees have to go through in order to achieve success in transcendental in order to achieve the transcendental vision. Actually, on that lecture, he explained about five stages through which all the devotees have to pass through, and we have to achieve that the final stage before the death comes. So these five stages is pratyaksha. First stage is a pratyaksha, then paroksha, then aparoksha, then atokshaja, first stage, and the fifth stage is aprakrita. These five stages is very important. This is a progress of how we change our vision from material vision to transcendental vision. The first stage is pratyaksha. Pratyaksha stage is a very low stage when we see with our material eyes, look for the person who can help us. This is the preliminary stage, like Shraddha stage, first stage. We have to search after those who can teach us spiritual knowledge, like Arjuna asked Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, almost at the end of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He asked Krishna, who is that person who has a transcendental vision, transcendental knowledge, how he walks, how he sits? So he asking this very, very simple questions, how he sits, how he walks. So this is a very simple thing. But Krishna explained that how the person is, the person who has a transcendental vision, how he acts in this world. He doesn't act like ordinary person. He acts in a special, transcendental way. So with this pratyaksha, pratyaksha, prati means near or nearby, aksha, eyes. But actually it doesn't belong to the eyes, it actually belongs to the all the senses, all our material senses, all five senses. So the first we have to use our gross five senses in order to start our transformation of our vision. So this is, and Krishna explained that this person, he thinks not like ordinary people, he acts not like ordinary people. So in this way, this person, he's trying to understand, to differentiate between spiritual person and material person, even though he should hear also different people, and he should not just hear, because you know someone can say beautiful words. Even I mean he can have a very good ability to speak something, give nice classes, for example, or say something about Raganuga, beautiful. You know, when in India, the Bhagavata Saptaha, they speak so beautifully, actually, so nicely. But as soon as they finish this Bhagavata Saptaha, they just go out and smoke ganja or just have a sex with others, wives. So not only hear, but we have to see that person, how he acts. Because how he acts is more important even how he speak. It's speak is just the ability to speak beautifully, but those who does something, that's more important. There is a saying in, I don't know if in English, but in Russia we say your acts so loud that I cannot hear your words. So in this way, we have to see the person, how he acts, not just to speak, but of course, you know, it should be both. I mean, like Lord Chaitanya glorified Haridas Thakur, he explained to him, you are the best because your achar and prachar is the best. So your achar, your actions is perfect, and your prachar, your speech also perfect. Because some people may speak nicely but not act nicely, or act nicely but not speak nicely. So, this should be both. So, with this, our eyes, we have to understand, make a distinction between those from we can start to get the spiritual knowledge. So, this is important thing. About the first stage. The second stage, paroksha. Paroksha means that when the person trying to use someone else's vision. In other way, he's trying to see the world with his, for example, with his guru's vision. When the guru, in other way, what does it mean? That means he repeats whatever he heard from guru. Because when we heard from guru something, if we repeat, we're trying to see what our guru, he could be a pure devotee and he could see everything perfectly. But we don't have spiritual vision yet, but at least we put aside our material vision and we're trying to see this world through his eyes. So this this paroksha means we're trying to see the world with sadhu's vision, with the saintly vision. That also, in order to do that, the important quality we have to have, humility. Humility is a very important quality in order to do, trying to see. Because when we repeat after someone, that what we are saying, in other words, what we are saying, I don't have any realization, but at least I'm repeating first like a parrot in the beginning. We have to repeat like a parrot. This is actually the sadhana also. We are not achieved that high standards of the sadhus who pure devotees do. All the sadhus do all the nicely sadhana, but we are trying to do it. So humbly, we're trying to put aside our material vision and try to see through his eyes, through the eyes of a spiritual master, repeating after him, repeating what he said about the spiritual world, about the shastra. So this is the second paroksha. The highest stage, the third stage, is the aparoksha. Aparoksha means that after some time, after repeating that, after doing this sadhana kind of, after a long amount of time, we will, after contemplating on that knowledge that we are repeating and we hearing, after that it will become our part of us. That means aparoksha means that it's we already kind of digest that knowledge and we contemplate it a lot. That's become it's already kind of stage of our intelligence. We're not like just speaking, but we put in our intelligence. So our intelligence start to understand. Yeah, this is that thing is a very proper thing, and that's very transcendental things. So aparoksha, even higher vision. So this is a kind of evolution of vision, yeah? First material vision, then someone else's vision. Now third stage, now it's start a little bit of our own vision already. And Srila Prabhupada explained in that lecture in Detroit before initiation that the fourth and fifth stage of this transformation of the vision, Adhokshaja and Aprakrita, is a Krishna consciousness state. So Adhokshaja is the fourth stage. Adhokshaja means that a person start to see already some subtle things. So it's kind of, he already getting like mystical vision. Adhokshaja is that like, that person is like a mystic and he can see even your karma. For example, the pure saints and sadhus who advance in spiritual knowledge and spiritual vision, they can look at you and they can see your karma, your past, and maybe your future. This is kind of mystical vision arrives at these people. So this is fourth stage, Adhokshaja, is even higher stage. And this is even more understanding of the transcendental knowledge. And the fifth stage is Aprakrita. Aprakrita, when they that person already sees the spiritual world. Like we read the explanation of our six Goswamis. Yeah, they explain like Raghunath Das Goswami, he explained in his Vilapa Kusumanjali. So he explained the leelas, whatever he see in his body, but he can see transcendental leelas, whatever Krishna does in the spiritual world. That means stage of aprakrita. He can see the leelas, how he can even himself react and interact with Krishna and in Krishna in spiritual world. So this is the highest stage of Krishna consciousness. So this is progression, evolution of that consciousness is very important. So before the death comes, we have to try to, it's not like we can do it, but at least humbly try, and there is a process how to do that. We have to follow that process. We have to act in such a way, we have to hear, we have to try to apply it in our life. And before the death comes, we have to we have to transform our vision from material vision to the spiritual vision. It should be done. Otherwise, if we don't do it, we just waste our time in a spiritual life. Year after year, we just doing the same thing and not endeavor in improving our sadhana, improving our consciousness more deeper into spiritual life. Because whatever we do, it's not like we do like, you know, in India, generation after generation, they just taught how to do something mechanically, and they don't have explanation. So if you ask someone why you're doing that, most of the people, they doesn't know why they're doing that. They might worship something year after year, but why they're doing it? Because my father, my grandfather, my grand-grandfather did that. And I do the same thing. I mean, I will tell to my son to do that thing too, so he will do the same thing. So we have to apply, have to do, because, ultimately we have to transfer to that transcendental realm. So, but the beginning, of course, very simple thing is the humility. From humility, everything starts. From humility, I can understand. I don't know anything. I don't have any strength. I don't have any intelligence to understand all this thing. But please, Krishna, help me. Because sadhana means actually we are transcendental beggars. We don't have anything, but we are beg Krishna. Krishna, I don't have anything, all good qualities, any good qualities. I don't have anything, but please help me. So this is a kind of sadhana where humbly. Krishna explains to Arjuna in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verses 8 to 12. As soon as Arjuna asks him about the knowledge, what's the knowledge about? So Krishna starts to explain to him what the verse starts. Amanitvam adambhitvam. Amanitvam means humility. Adambhitvam, give up your pride. So from that, this is the beginning of receiving knowledge, actually. And we, as soon as we humbly Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains Tadvidhi Pranipatina. So humbly bow down, ask humbly, and humbly serve. Sevaya. This is on three levels that we engage. Pranipat, this we engage our body. Pranipat, we just bow down first. Pariprashna, we humbly ask, we using our words humbly. And Sevaya, we humbly serve. And when we humbly serve, that means we our mind is become humble. After that, he will start serving, because if your mind is not humble, you will not start serving humbly. So this is a beginning. So and here we can read in the purport that Srila Prabhupada explained, we have to approach that avyakta margavid, those who knows the avyakta what's the word? Avyakta, what's the English word? unmanifested or inconceivable, yeah. So this is the first stage. So Vidura, he's starting humbly asking Maitreya. So Maitreya will step by step start to explain to him. Sorry for my my French. Maybe anybody has any questions or purpose or comments.
I was thinking this morning that I really don't know how to be humble. I don't know how to be humble. It's a foreign concept. There's a fine line, right? Like between self-pity and like humility. It seems, you know, we hear the acharyas. They just thrash their minds with like this. You know, they say they're abominable. All these different things. But then when I try to take on this mentality, it just turns into pity. It's like a little bit. It's not really sincere humility. So like, I don't know. Maybe you can speak on like, I mean, how do we even approach humility? What does it mean to drop our? It's such a foreign thing, especially, you know, in the world that we live in today.
Well, this is most of the people ask how to become humble. It's if we're already in this movement, and somebody I don't remember who, but some disciple approached Srila Prabhupada, "I don't feel like bowing down before you." And Srila Prabhupada said, "You bow down and the feeling will come." Well, who was that?
Gargamuni,
yeah, this was Gargamuni, right. So you just start to bow down and the feeling will come. So the same thing, we just do sadhana, we just associate with the devotees. We shouldn't, like Radhanath Maharaj said, to become humble is not think less about myself, but think less, think less of myself, rather think myself lower. What's that? Less, right, yeah. Yeah, so this is the first step of the... Because when we are thinking, no, I have to be humble. No, just forget about yourself. And there is nowadays, there is a very, impersonal and kind of new age thing that love yourself. Did you hear about that? Not here, but in Russia, the psychologists just put down in this in everybody's people mind, love yourself. This kind of, you know. And there is a saying, at least in Russian, it says selfless service. You forgot about yourself. You totally forgot about yourself. And the gopis, they just forgot even dress themselves properly. And they just thought about Krishna only. They didn't think about themselves. So this is love yourself is kind of Mayavadic philosophy. Of course, we love yourself from very beginning. As soon as we born, we already love yourself by default. We love ourselves. So this is kind of and humility. You think about yourself less. Thank you.
Although true love for oneself is when you realize who the self is. Mm-hmm. Like you say, right from the beginning as babies, we're identifying with the body, the needs of the body, blah, 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 me. So that's the concept of love of self. But in spirituality, we can, if we truly love ourselves, we'll avoid the things that will hinder our spiritual or our relationship with Krishna, you know, and we'll take on those things that will enhance our relationship with Krishna. That's
yeah, also, when somebody asks one of the Russian guru, Chaitanya Charan, why, what does it mean, love yourself? He said, to follow four regulative principles. This, you have to respect yourself and follow four regulative principles. that's you love. If you love yourself, just follow that four regulative principles. Okay. Yes, Mads.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. I like your class very much. We have this book, Science of Self-Realization. So that tells us right there, if you, like Vagatmika is saying, when you realize who you are, you can love yourself because you're part and parcel of Krishna. So if we don't get to know who we are, then we can't really love the real self. So when we understand, that's why Prabhupada said, Science of Self-Realization, to love yourself, you have to know who you are, and then you know who Krishna is, and then you know who everybody is. And then you can love yourself and love everybody. Mm-hmm. I like your point where you're saying that these five steps that Prabhupada said in his lecture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before initiation.
You think that by following the process, you know, you're doing okay, but you actually have to actively cultivate, you know, actively want to go back to Godhead by doing something. You know, it's not just a passive state, or I chant my rounds, or I come to the morning program. So you actually have to make a spiritual endeavor itself. Is that what you're saying in your...
Yeah, that's why it's before initiation. You know, those who get initiation, he explains, Prabhupada explains, this is the first step. Now you have to progress. Mm. Initiation means beginning.
Yeah. No, and I can see why her whole trip back to Godhead is to actually hear Hare Krishna. You know, first we chant offensively, then we try to hear the name. But we never really get to the point, if we can just hear the name, we become self-realized like that. So it actually, it's like an active thing. You have to constantly, you just can't say, okay, I finished my 16 rounds. You have to actually hear it. Yeah. You have to, you know, pray and hear. So you can see how, you know, you have to actually do something internally.
Yeah, not just mechanically do.
Yeah, thank you. I like that.
Thank you. Yes, Madhavi.
The example or analogy that you gave with this teacher and student, I'm kind of in awe of him that it only took him 3 years to become humble.
Yeah. Well, actually, in one place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that in 3 days you can get self-realization. What's the particular thing he said? I don't remember, but in 3 days you can get all the perfection if you really. If you really become serious, I guess in Jaiva Dharma, yeah, he said that. In 3 days or 1 week, something like that, you can become perfect if you're really serious. 3 years is just too long. And sometimes it takes our whole life and not even at the end of our life.
Huh?
Well, in one moment, yeah, we can get a, yeah, so yeah, in one moment we can get self-realization. We have to just humbly apply and make endeavors, yes, and have so much dirt and material desires in my heart. So, but yeah, ultimately Krishna will help us at the end of our life. Like in Bhagavad Gita, the last verse of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he said, even though if you get this consciousness at the end of your life, you will get to the spiritual world. So we have a hope. All right. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.